Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Another great show. My guest, who's on today's show, Jeff Meredith, who's the president and COO of Chamberlain Group. You don't know Chamberlain Group. You just use it every day. LiftMaster in your garage. MyQ, if you're a person who uses Wi-Fi to open doors and garages and things. That's them. I actually met them here at WGN. They were doing another segment with somebody else, and I was like, I think this is like a really cool tech play. I'd like to have you on the podcast. He was gracious enough to say yes. I'm going to preface this by saying the show's a good one. You should listen to it, as you should listen to all of them, of course. This is, in my mind, is like this quintessential moment of acquisition versus innovation. And that doesn't make any sense when I say it right now. It will once you listen to the show. Jeff is an innovation guy. Spent a long time at Lenovo, software background, but a hardware company that he took over, and he's sort of melding hardware and software. And the reason I say acquisition versus innovation is they're the perfect target for a company. In this case, it's Amazon, who looks at you and goes, I need a trusted brand because I'm going to ask people to do something that's out of their comfort zone. In the case of Amazon, it's give access to opening the garage door or any other door for delivery purposes. And that's just this. There's all kinds of plays, autonomous driving, delivery of pharmaceuticals. There's so much stuff. The brand that Chamberlain Group has built over the past 40 years is such that they can either have been acquired for the name brand so that Amazon can put sensors and things inside of your garage that is a name you trust and basically do away with the company. Or they can find a company that is smart enough and pays enough attention to history to hire the right person to take advantage of something, which is to say, if Amazon's out shopping to acquire, you know it's a hot spot. And they recognize that Chamberlain did, and they put Jeff at the helm, and he's killing it. He's blowing this thing up because he recognized that the last mile of access and delivery is going to be right here. It's going to be, how do you open the door? And we've been here for 40 years opening the door. And if you're going to ask strangers to come into your house and open the door and put groceries in your refrigerator, I'm going to need to know and trust that this is going to be done by the right people. And that's what's going on here. Amazon picked a name you know, a name you trust. And that's why Jeff is here to share that story and all the different components to go into making a company that's 40 years old, hardware space into the new world, which is a completely digital. Okay, before we go to Jeff, I got to go to the startup inbox. It's a very good one, also very fitting. Also want to promote the Chicago Innovation UnGala at 626. Got to do that. We've got a table. We invited a couple founders to that event. It's going to be fantastic. I recommend you go. It's funny. Everyone at our table is all in insurance. I don't know how that happened. Probably because Vic Pascucci did it. But anyway, that dude loves insurance. Anyway, Startup Inbox, which is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 65,000 businesses use ActiveCampaign for their marketing by signing up at ActiveCampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months for free. We use it. I actually use it. I'm not just saying this. I love ActiveCampaign. Here's the question. Like I said, very fitting. How to manage cybersecurity? Shannon Graves. I know there's a lot of emphasis on how to protect my personal online identity, but what are some cybersecurity tips I should use for my young startup? Okay, I'll make it real quick. Keeper Security, LastPass are two. Keeper Security has been on the show a million times. Darren is a dude. Darren Guccione. Got the best name in tech in Chicago, best hair in tech in Chicago, and one of the best products in tech in Chicago. Quite literally, I'm just going to say this real quick. Startup companies don't realize that when they want to do business that is not a pilot, scalable, real business with big corporations, if they don't have data security or things that are going to qualify for procurement when it comes down to like HIPAA and other laws and regulations that govern all of these big entities, you are prohibited from doing business with you. If you outsource and you're not data secure, banks cannot work with you. If you are doing things that plug into wearables and that data is not secured properly, you can't work with Apple. You can't work with anybody who does anything with data. So it's hugely important. And there's a couple ways you can go. There's individual password protection, which is one thing. Your data and everything is only as secure as the idiot who left the office with a thumb drive and signed into a computer at a library. That's how almost every breach occurs, a moron. But then there's other protocols where the entire business is sort of self-managed and your IT people. The bottom line is just ask questions. I would go to Keeper Security and look at the different tools that they have. Don't start off with something crazy and huge. Start off small, password, and then go from there. And then also where your cloud is. Who is hosting your cloud and who has access to that is everything. So Shannon, that's the best I can give you on that one. I've spoken at a bunch of cybersecurity events, but I'm actually not all that wise to it. I'm probably the easiest target there is, and somehow I've not been hacked yet. So anyway, that's what I got. We are now going to move over to the interview portion of the show where I talk to Jeff Meredith, the president and COO of Chamberlain Group. As a person, so when I met you guys, obviously you were here at WGN doing a show.
And
I heard about it, and Sam, my producer, was like, "You've got to like check this thing out." And we were, I swear to God, we were literally just talking about one. My wife loves the Ring doorbell thing. She's like obsessed with the stories of people being like creepy around houses, and then. I was telling her, I was like, I personally have nothing to hide and like nothing of any value in my home. Like anything of value I generally have on my person, I don't like leave it around. So like laptops or whatever. So I'm like, I could care less if someone wants to go in my house and drop packages off. In fact, if they want to put all the food away too, that's even better. And my wife is like, well, yes, but like, how do you know who's coming in? And that was the conversation I had literally right before I met you guys.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it's a perfect way to have you in. Yeah, so like let's jump right into it. A lot of times I want to learn about you also as an individual. It's not just the business, because I find that really successful companies tend to take on or embellish, depends on how you look at it, some of the personality traits of the leadership.
Yeah,
And the bad companies too, but we tend to Enron them really quickly. So tell me a little bit about the actual business you're in, and then we'll kind of circle back into why we were talking about entry into home.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want me to just
whatever.
Yeah. So in terms of Chamberlain is a company with a rich history, 40 plus years of history, making high quality openers for both residential and commercial access solutions. Typically a hardware company, heavy engineering backgrounds for the majority of the leadership team historically. A lot of emphasis on quality and reliability. A deep relationship over time with our dealer base, so we can really stretch the company on a very personal level throughout the country with more than 4,000 dealers who have known to who have trusted the LiftMaster brand for a long period of time. So it's a company that has deep roots in manufacturing, deep roots in very high quality hardware, but a company that's now trying to make a transformation to become much more of a tech company with a focus on still on the access component of the business, but moving that to connected access.
Yep.
So that we can marry an array of different access solutions together in very simple, easy to manage, easy to monitor ecosystem type solutions.
So I want to start a little bit on, like, give me a list of some of the products that have come out. I mean, even going back 40 years. Like, what are the product lines that have come out? Because I'm going to weird out a little bit here when we get into the IoT in the future, because I think, and I know you'll agree with this, I think people like groups, companies like Chamberlain Group, people like yourself, are historically, and it's the very short history, obviously, tech is, I mean, it's been around forever. Everything is tech, but like it's like 4 years is really like where the regular Joe knows it. And historically, I feel like you guys have been left out of the conversation. And it's sort of this like, oh, new up and coming tech, blockchain, blah, blah, blah. And millennials don't really realize that they're trying to solve for the final mile, the last mile. They're all trying to solve for it. And the reason they can't find the answer to it is because they're talking to the wrong people.
Yeah.
Because it was you guys who were the last mile for the last century. And so they haven't talked to you. And so I want to, the purpose here of this part of the show is I really am looking forward to going, maybe it's a little history for some of our younger listeners who are going to be like, oh, okay, so these are products that existed and are really key.
Yeah, it's been interesting for me to come into the company. I've been there about a year now, and I came over from Lenovo as, I was a leader for their consumer business, PC business. And it was an interesting move for me to come from, sort of a blue blood tech company into a company that's known historically for door openers and commercial openers. But one of the things that drew me to the company is there's a strong history of innovation. And a lot of people, you're right, wouldn't equate it to technology innovation. But the RF technology used to give you the ability to open and close your garage door in a remote way was generated out of Chamberlain. The safety component of being able to have safety eyes in your garage to ensure that there's nothing that stands in the way of you backing out of your garage, whether it's a toy or your child, was an innovation from Chamberlain Group. And it was not only an innovation from Chamberlain Group, it was one that they decided not to hold as proprietary, but to offer broadly to anybody and everybody in the industry because it was a safety improvement.
Yeah.
So the company has a really rich history from gate openers to commercial door openers for whether it's warehouses or within facilities themselves, a rich history of innovation. It's not the technology innovation that we think of today necessarily, in that it didn't originate in an app form, but it was advancement and innovation to enable.
I feel like it's in just my opinion, it's more complex innovation, to be totally honest. I mean, I don't obviously want to, push a lot of the people who listen to the show into a corner and disregard the tech advancement of software because it's not nothing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot that you can do by just testing, just random software bits and pieces and features with a small group of people and just iterate and refine it in a small box or offshore or whatever, and no one ever knows you exist. There's no failure. Whereas a product, a hardware, in order to be not only sustainable but to live for 40 years, you've got to completely reinvent yourself again and again and again and again and do it publicly, and people have to buy your product and tell you it's a piece of shit if it is. And you have to respond like, thank you, and come back to them and look them in the eye and give them a better product. It's a very different world.
Yeah, and I think, your point of where the rubber meets the road a little bit is that it's got to go to market and be successful, and it's got to pass muster first with our dealer base because they have to go out and install it, right? And so they're very quick to tell us, if our product isn't up to par, it is very difficult for them to install or doesn't deliver on the user promise that we're aiming for. But I think, to the broader question around innovation, this is what drives me today as a leader in a company that's pushing to be more viable as a quote unquote tech company. Historically, hardware has been driven out of engineering ideas, not necessarily ultimate kind of experiences. And I think where innovation plays, and this is where we're going in the future, is you start with access. That's our foundation. So in the case of garage delivery, there was an inability to gain access. And so how do we solve the solution around access for package delivery? Well, you need hardware and you need software. And I think the flow and the combination of those two things around solving a problem is where true innovation comes. It's not just that we could do it technically. It's that somebody actually desires to have this solved technically.
Yep.
And the marriage of the hardware, which we've got a really strong history of making great hardware, good mechanics, very reliable, durable hardware over time. And now we've upgraded our skill and our talent from a software standpoint so we can start to build more easy solutions and solutions that can be monitored remotely and that you can do with the tap of a button on your phone. It doesn't mean that we've displaced the importance of hardware. Hardware is still critically important to what we're trying to do, and it enables us to pull off the access solution that we want. But now we're just packaging it a little bit differently. And I think companies who haven't had any experience actually making tangible hardware underestimate the importance of the whole solution where hardware and software comes together in a very seamless packaged way.
It's funny. Obviously, you know, I've spent a good amount of time, you know, probably, I mean, if you include the startups I've worked with, it's a decade, but if you go back to just like the big companies, you know, 5 or 6 years spent as kind of innovation consulting and helping companies sort of grow and build their new things. And we always sort of built it on this construct that there's three things that have to be critical. It's sort of the infrastructure of the company, how it's built and set up, the product offering itself, and the experiences you create. And that if the company is not superior in its customer delivery, and it's not superior in its actual product use, and it's not superior in the way that the business model functions, in other words, that it's self-perpetuating, usually the failure rate is pretty significant. When I look at companies like yourself and my partner's company, SMS Assist, is a great example of this as well. Grew up in an analog world, and having to stay, you know, not just stay existent in a digital, but like actually become bigger than they ever were. And you hit on it really perfectly. If there's anyone listening to this, write this down. I think the part that really gets me is when I think of software, I really think of like experience based. You kind of mentioned that. Like, I think about what kind of experience do I want to create with this? And when I think of a physical tool being built, I think mechanical, I think, does it work?
Yeah.
And it's not easy or hard, it's different. On the mechanical side, on the physical engineering side, hardware side versus software, you're trying to create something that needs to then work together in order to actually be something that can scale and build and sell and people use it. And I think, to your point, coming from a hardware standpoint, I think the hardware is actually the harder part to get right, and more costly part to get right. And so because you have that, that's your strategic advantage all day long. And then it's like, how do we create the best experience possible? Well, we know from, you know, decades of experience and users to like what they complain about. We should be in the good position if we can build the right team to build it. Your focus is building experience, whereas the other people who enter the market know that they need a seamless delivery experience. That's all they know. To create that experience and make it actually sustainable, that's what they don't know.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, is that you have to have all of the tools to be able to really build a sustainable, viable solution against an experience. And, you know, one of the things that we've done recently that's been a really healthy exercise, and it actually has brought our hardware and our software teams together, is we've started to look at both residences as well as commercial organization or commercial facilities around this concept of access points, access people, and access events. So we look at the entry points and the exit points. We look at who goes in and out or who doesn't go in and out, and what event prompts them to actually move in and out of the facility or the residence. And we're particularly looking for rubs, for points of friction. And that's kind of the root of where this package delivery came, is that there's a delivery person that comes with a high level of frequency anymore. I mean, we all are getting multiple Prime packages delivered, and they're coming to a point of entry, but not entry. Yep. And that actually yields a friction point or a pain point, in that sometimes the package disappears. Yep. Sometimes it gets wet. You know, so sometimes, frankly, you have to stay home when you don't want to stay home. So when we looked at the points of conflict associated with that particular access event, it screams needs a solution.
Yep.
And so we're really trying to take this systematic approach to access. There are some, you know, points of access and people and you know, events that really don't have a lot of friction or rub, and there's others that do. You know, when you have somebody that comes to your home when you're not there, whether it's to walk your dogs or, you know, to clean your home or whatever service they're trying to do, you know, that's a point where there could be some friction. When your dogs need to go out and you're not there, that's a friction point. So it's an interesting approach as a company that we're trying to take these, you know, pain points and then drive experiences using a combination of software and hardware, and, you know, the right interfaces to be able to solve them. So it's a cool evolution for a company that, you're right, has really deep roots in solid and dependable hardware. So we know what we need to do, you know, to be able to deliver the devices that make these experiences better. Now we're we're putting together the software solutions that trigger it as well.
So it's interesting to me. It's like, you're obviously an innovation guy. Like that very is very, very clear, which I want to nerd out and kind of figure out like how that came to be. One of the things that we talk about all the time when looking at startup companies, and you're not that, but like looking at companies that we would like to, whether it's invest in or whatever the case, I always ask like the pain point question. Like, is this a pain? Is this like throbbing? Is it like, you know, what is the market size in conjunction with how big a pain is this? And the interesting thing about yours, and there are several businesses, I was on the phone with the CEO of Helium before this. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they basically are like the IoT, blockchain IoT. Listen to that podcast if you want to know about it. It's an hour long. But the point I was making with him was like, do you solve a problem that is so painful that if you had like a $300 or $400 cost, would you be able to sell it? And the answer for him was no. And the answer for you in this case is probably no. I don't know how many times I've needed someone to be able to open the door for the package. It's a handful. How many times have I needed someone to come in to get in for the dog? A handful plus. How many times have I needed it for groceries or other? It's like a handful plus. None of these things are screaming at me like, oh my God, if I don't have this thing, I'm in trouble. But the secret little thing that's underlying here is the market size is everyone. So like you don't have to solve something that's just insane, but you do have something that like, listen, we make it really easy.
Yeah.
We focus on software that's simple. So like maybe it's the delivery person. Maybe it's, you know, Airbnb. Maybe it's you're letting your garage be available for parking. Maybe it's your dog walker. It's a nurse. It's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's so many use cases that it's like, how much does it cost to put on? Oh, that's not much. And then you sell, you know, a billion of them.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about that this particular point of discussion is I've spent a lot of time over the last 10 years innovating collaboratively with partners.
Yep.
And I think one of the things that people don't fully get in this day and age is that the problem that you're trying to solve typically has more than one constituent. In this case, Amazon was the obvious, you know, partner. We could try to solve the solution, solve the problem alone, or we can partner with them. And so there's value for them, there's value for us, there's value for the consumer in the equation. So, you know, in my career, I've spent a lot of time partnering with Google and Amazon and Facebook and other ecosystem players. And I think marrying solutions in a way that provides a broad-reaching, you know, answer to the problem to a consumer, but also puts more value into the equation in terms of, you know, how it's derived, can eliminate or minimize some of the cost concerns of people for the solution. So this is a really interesting thought as it relates to innovation, because if you go 10 years ago, you wanted to hold your innovation really close.
Yes, now everything's open.
And today, you actually want to share your innovation with the people that would also benefit from it and, you know, be able to enable it to be accessible to a much broader audience.
So that was the next thing I was actually going to go with this, because the Amazon part of this is what I think is... it's beyond fascinating, because there's very few people who can get into a position like this where, again, this is very similar to the Helium conversation we were having talking about Facebook, and they're just did a deal with Lime, and so they're going to be in all the scooters and everything. You are partnered with someone that, so like, I don't know anything. I probably don't know anything. So I'm sitting there.
I
know some things, but like, I'm sitting there and I'm going, I don't see why I would need this device. I don't see why I would need this thing. It's like, I don't do this. I don't do that. Okay. You think that. But what you don't know is what I know, which is like 2 years from now, after Amazon buys Whole Foods and they start popping up pharmacies and they start making deliveries nonstop, whether it's drones or otherwise, and all of a sudden there needs to be access points to all these different infrastructures, you didn't know that that was the next turn. But we did, because we partnered with them. And so this is sort of where this story takes like a hard right, because you're building technology that it is used mainstream, but it's not a need necessarily yet, but it will be for the rest of the fabric of society and where we're going. It has to be, because there's no other, we can't leave people have shit laying all over their yards if somebody doesn't create something that opens a door and lets the thing drop it off.
Yeah, I think that is the foresight of the business.
Yeah, for sure.
And that the way that access happens today is going to change pretty dramatically. And not only the way access happens, but the needs for access are going to broaden really dramatically.
And this is just the obvious one. We haven't even gotten to the fact that like
scratching the surface,
autonomous cars.
Yeah, this is scratching the
surface. So like, where do we park?
Yeah.
How do we? Nobody. The autonomous car is a novelty. So long as it doesn't find parking for us and take care of us, drop it off and park the car and come get us again. Until it does that, it's a novelty.
Yes,
it becomes an absolute changed way of life when it knows how to open your garage and take me over to the other person's and go into that garage and drop the car. Until it knows how to do that, it doesn't do it. And you guys are building the pieces that enable, again, similar to helium, building the pieces that enable this fabric to come together and actually work.
Yeah.
And it's
and
like
the
10
conversations
years now,
that
world.
We're having today with the auto companies are exactly that, quite frankly. You know, we've historically had, you know, a collaborative project to have HomeLink in every one of the, you know, your cars or the majority of cars in the U.S. today. And, you know, in the future, you're right. That's going to, you know, turn to an autonomous vehicle.
And it will sensor and trigger itself. It won't be you going clicking
need,
buttons and whatever.
Access. The vehicle's going to need a home base to charge. It's gonna, you're not going to want to have manual intervention in every aspect of that. So, you know, we're looking at access in a very broad sense right now.
Yep.
And, you know, you've hit on two of the things that are very obvious for us. One is with auto. The second is obviously what comes to your home from a delivery standpoint is going to expand dramatically over. I mean, we already see this growth in terms of, you know, grocery delivery happening. And, you know, today, the penetration, though the penetration is growing, it's still relatively low.
Yep.
So we think access is going to have a great deal of value to a bunch of different partners as we go forward. And what we're trying to do is make sure that that we have the vision around enabling access, and that we're at the center of that. And then if, you know, we're able to work with, you know, an array of different partners in the future, that's going to be great. But, you know, honestly, right now, Amazon is the perfect partner for us to sort of kickstart, you know, the connected component of our strategy based on the, you know, size of the Prime user base, but also based on the value that Amazon derives in having a more secure access point into the home.
So with that, the other thing I think is particularly interesting here is the as I mentioned in the beginning, the last mile piece. I find that a lot of the companies are, a lot of startups are, they want to disrupt everything so quickly that they forget that like there is a reason why something was built the way it was built. They forget that there are steps that they need to take, and they ignore like, oh, we'll just disrupt it and we'll blow this model up. And you're like, Yeah, the problem there is, though, that like home builders build a house, and in part of that deal is a contract that goes on for 50 years with home and with, you know, Black and Decker to provide X, Y, and Z, and that's a contract, and you can't break that. And, you know, garages and things, like there's all these components that go into it. And I think that's the one area, particularly in the wearable and in the IoT space, that to me has been left behind, and why people are sort of left scratching their head on the last mile pieces, that they sort of neglected to go speak with you and the manufacturers and the people out there who build the things that we hold.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't quite understand how to solve
it. Yeah, I think there's actually two. You had one, and I think there's one more that when I've consulted with startups and really tried to mentor you know, people that were going out on their own, I think there's the inability to understand how to get it to market. You know, right now we go through 70% of what we do is actually done through a local dealer who comes to your home and installs, you know, a product. You know, if you want to play in the space that we're in, you need to have the relationships with that local dealer base, or else you're not going to get to market.
Yep.
So I think that, you know, a lot of times you think about the innovative idea, you don't think about how to get the innovative idea to market. This is one of the beauties of this business, is that we've spent 40 years cultivating really deep channel relationships, and we've got a path to market. I think the other point that you were on is that there's everything has to work in a reliable fashion. You get one shot. you know, and if you put together your solution and your software interface is killer, but the reliability of the back end of the solution is suspect, you blew it.
Yep.
And the marriage that we've put together as a company of making very reliable hardware and overlaying an ecosystem in MyQ, which is our access ecosystem on top of that, we feel confident that, you know, that the overall solution, you know, is very robust. And quite frankly, you get more leeway. You can solve some of the software challenges over time. It's really hard to solve the hardware challenges.
Yeah.
Well, it's really hard to solve the hardware challenges.
And very costly.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's one of those things.
We just don't get another shot.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, people don't want to take a lot of risks on, you know, inferior hardware.
Well, you have to make it and ship it and build it and scale. And like, a failure literally puts you out of business.
Yeah.
Where software, it's like, oh, it's a patch. You can change it.
Yeah. You don't want to have a lot of those.
No.
You get a little leeway on that, and you can actually have a solve. So, yeah, I think, you know, we came at this business with a good core, and we're adding on to it. I think this is one of the advantages that, and we've done that. I mean, if you look at the construct of our engineering teams, we've moved from 90% hardware to more than 50-50. You know, there's a lot of growth in those numbers, but, you know, the distribution of our hardware engineers has moved, you know, equal software and hardware. And we've really, over the last few years, we've done what was necessary to evolve to a more tech-focused company.
What would you say? I mean, I think I know the answer to this, so I don't even know why I'm asking it, but
yeah.
I guess affirmation. What would you say is that, like, that big unfair advantage you guys have had as you scale into this? I mean, obviously, I feel like the hardware, the history of building the hardware is the obvious answer, but, like, whether it's your own personal experience or it's the company's historic and team, what is that unfair advantage that you believe is the reason that you're the one who's serving for Amazon and not somebody else?
You know, it really is the foundation that we've set with the business over time. I mean, we're by far the market leader in terms of representation in people's homes. You know, we're well over 50 million homes in the U.S. And so just the sheer presence and
the trust
and the history and the fact that, you know, people, if you get into any discussion, and, you know, I'm still relatively new, so, you know, these conversations, I have these conversations, maybe if you work there 20 years, you don't talk to people about where you work as much, but,
yeah.
You know, inevitably it's, oh, I have a LiftMaster in my garage, that thing's been working like a jewel for the last, you know, 10 years, and I just recently added MyQ, it's really great. So, you know, I have yet to have, you know, that thing's, you know, doesn't work for me, it's not reliable, it's not trustworthy, it's always, you know, it's dependable, reliable. And so I think that foundation that we've built off of, you know, when we go to Amazon and say, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, the dependability of our company and the reliability, and we're a trusted brand, that gave us a strong, you know, advantage as we initiated those discussions.
Totally agree. This has been a lot of fun. I love talking to we've had a couple of them in the last couple of weeks, companies that go back to, like, the olden days of how they built. I mean, we had, in the last month, I think we've had three companies that have been around for between 50 and 100 years each. So it's cool to see them not just still existing in the physical and the hardware, but, like, marrying it to software. And in some cases, a couple of them have, like, moved completely to software and are even bigger than they ever were before. So I hope that's the same for you guys.
It takes guts. I mean, it takes guts to make this kind of move as a company, because it takes you out of a comfort zone that you've had. But I think if you use it as a strength, if you use your history as a strength, it gives you a jumping board that's actually far superior than if you just try to enter onto the scene without the foundation. So, you know, we feel confident. We're still, you know, fighting like crazy to establish our place and make sure that we transform our business to a more tech focused company. But we're confident that we're going to get ourselves there.
I think you will too. I wanted to say to your quote you just said right there, which is, I think, sums it up. This is one of those pivotal moments in time, I think, historically with regard to technology, because we're just starting to go into the area we talked about, just, you know, access. There will be other things, like there were energy changes in the past, you know, there's always, cars are changing, everything's changing. But the companies that sit back and just hang out will be gone. There's no question, because in the past you could say, oh, they might get passed, they're going to lose sales, they get scooped up by somebody else. They don't now, because you can just recreate it, and the cost of having people sitting in a chair is too expensive and you go out of business. If you don't look at history and go, where have we played a role when things went this way, and where do we foresee ourselves playing a role when things go this way? If you're not asking those questions, I hope you're close to retirement age. Because yeah. It's not looking
good. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, the way that we look at this is there's a fundamental principle in our business that people are going to go in and out of things.
Yep.
It sounds so simple.
Yeah.
But you're
the
gonna,
pun is intended how, in your case.
How, yeah. How you do it is going to change over time. And the most interesting innovations, quite frankly, come from taking historical events and moving them into a more modern state. And for me, you know, looking at what we've enabled historically, reliable access, what we're going to enable in the future is reliable access. We're just going to enable you to do that in a broader ecosystem, in a more simple, you know,
and be able to extend the access on a one-time basis.
Yeah.
Instantly. That's the other part
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, share
that's
the
so
access,
huge.
Manage
it's like,
the access.
It's like sharing a password.
Allow the access to, you know, to others. Partner with people that also value the access, you know, at the consent of the homeowner or the commercial
This will not
owner.
Be far away before I'm able to text you access to opening my garage to go do something.
Well, like, you can actually do it today.
Boom, there you go.
Yeah.
See? I can feel it.
Yeah, it's not long at all.
It's not long. It's not long at all. It happened yesterday, actually. I did it today. Oh, my God. This is great. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time. Where do people go to learn, obviously, more about Chamberlain Group, but the products individually? Where do you want people to go? And
there's a couple places that I would call out for people to go. One is if you want to learn more about Amazon Prime Package Delivery, you can go to our MyQ.com site. You'll be able to go, you know, within that site to Key by Amazon and enter your zip code, and it'll be able to tell you if you're accessible yet. We have about almost 50% of the U.S. covered. Chicago's covered.
Sweet.
And then we'll pick up over the next few quarters up to about 85-90% of the U.S. will be covered. So if you're interested in package delivery in your garage for your Amazon Prime packages, that's a perfect thing. And if you're interested in our connected garage door openers, liftmaster.com is a great outlet for you to go to and pick up information there. Many people are sitting around with a garage door opener that's not Wi-Fi connected, and it's time to upgrade that to make sure that you have the accessibility features that are going to become available in the future.
Totally agree. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you too.
Of course, you can learn more about upcoming Technori events, investment opportunities. Check out the blog at technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify or Apple, wherever you get yours, and follow us on social at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.